I come awake and jolt upright in bed, gasping for air and blinking off the remnants of the nightmare as sweat drips down the back of my neck. Late afternoon sun streams in through the window, lighting the bedchamber that had been Zayden's, the one he warded so only he and I could get through. My heart races as I glance over the sleeping faces of my squad mates. Thank the gods that Zayden used the same warding technique on this room as he had on mine at Bazgaiath. I'd pulled my squad through one by one. Traeger sleeping up against the door using his pack for a pillow, and Riddick is out a few feet away with his dagger mere inches from his fingertips. Vi? Rhi whispers, sitting up beside me and rubbing the sleep out of her eyes. You all right? I nod, spotting Marin and Kat curled with their backs against each other in the center of the room on makeshift pallets. We're all accounted for. There's no fire. No immediate danger. As much as I miss Sawyer, I'm glad he's not in harm's way. Clearly, we're too close to the front for my peace of mind with dreams like that. Just a nightmare. Oh, she lies back down on the spot I'd usually sleep, and I fall onto Zayden's now sweat-soaked pillow. Bazgaiath? I get them sometimes, too. I think so. It's been months since he slept here, but I swear I catch a hint of mint as I turn my head toward Rhi, keeping my voice low. But Kat was there, and I was trying to find this painting of my family, but it was weird, and then they were burning. I sigh, which makes sense considering my mother turned herself into an actual flame. Rhi grimaces. I'm sorry. I scoff lightly, remembering the dream. And I told Kat she had to live because she was the future queen of Tirindor. Rhi's eyes widen and she smothers a laugh with her hand. Now that's the real nightmare. I know, right? My smile slips. What's in your nightmares when you have them? She smooths the piece of black silk covering her hair. Usually, it's that you don't save Sawyer, and I can't get to him fast enough because I make the wrong call.
You two are not as quiet as you think, Riddick mutters.
What time is it?
Probably time for us to get up, Rhi says. The rest of the squad stirs, and we take turns in the bathing chamber before filing into the hallway, ready to make ourselves useful. A pair of riders, one wearing major rank and the other captain, approach as I shut Zayden's door, their footsteps as weary as their eyes.
Maze says they have less than an hour, the major says, wrapping a bandage around her hand, then shoving her short blonde hair out of her eyes.
Came out of nowhere.
Maze? I know that name.
Mated to grime, Taryn reminds me.
Right. They've been mated for decades and are able to communicate at a far longer range than Taryn and Sigale. We're stretched too thin. A line of stitches puckers on the captain's cheek, and he shakes his head. If they're smart, they've already evacuated Newhall. We all step back against the wall so they can pass. Well, all except Marin, who blocks their way. I'm sorry, did you say Newhall?
Yes, the captain replies, looking at Marin like he's tasted something sour.
Why is it being evacuated? Marin rushes, her brow furrowing. The officers share a knowing look, and the rest of us come off the wall in front of the pair as Kat quickly crosses behind Traeger to reach Marin.
The area is under attack. It's odd for Venon to target such a small village, but scouts reported smoke.
Marin inhales sharply, and Kat hooks her arm through her elbow. You have people there. The major's tone softens, pity in her gaze. Marin presses her lips between her teeth and nods.
It's where her family fled, Kat answers. It's not more than half an hour from here. Are we flying?
We. The captain looks at each of us, pausing at my braid before addressing Kat. We are running on little to no sleep and have already lost one rider this week. Half our riot is patrolling to the north, and the other half is pushing burnout, so as harsh as it may sound. He shoots the major a look I can't quite decipher. The village is too small to risk any more casualties to the unit. My breath abandons me. So we just leave them to die? Traeger's voice rises. Why? Because they're Peromish? Not because they're Peromish. Because we can't help. The major's words grow shorter. Not all of us wield lightning, she glances at me. If we want to save the towns, the cities, the denser areas of population, then an unfortunate part of war is knowing we'll lose some of the villages. If you don't pick up strategic concepts in your third year, then you'll certainly learn fast once you graduate. The pair walks around Marin and Kat, their footsteps heavy as they depart. If any of us are still alive by the time they graduate, the captain's voice fades. My family's there, Marin whispers, her face crumpling. Why didn't my parents go south when Zolia fell? They would have been safe in Cordon, or they could have gone back to Draethys. Shh, Kat rubs Marin's arm. I'm sure they'll get out. Marin shakes her head violently. What if they're already dead? My stomach churns as I look to Rhi. Taryn and I can make the flight faster than half an hour if we break from the squad. It's not like we haven't seen battle, Kat adds. We fought our way out of Cliffsbane. Rhi stiffens. Atos invoked Article 8, so we're legally clear, but there are so many unknowns, she whispers to herself. Number of Venin, Wyvern. But the civilians. Look, it's only a fight if we make it one. Riddick glances at the flyers. Narrow the scope of the mission. We extract Marin's family. We save as many civilians as we can. We get out.
Without knowing what we're up against, we can't just... Rhi starts. We defended Basgaeth, Kat snaps.
Rhi's mouth snaps shut. If it were Mira and Brennan in danger, I'd go. Especially with that nightmare so fresh in my mind. But there's a reason I'm not the squad leader and Rhi is.
Vote, I suggest. I get it. Ordering us into a war zone could be catastrophic, and we're just cadets. So vote. That's what we did at Resson.
None of us mentioned that Liam and Soleil didn't come home.
Rhi nods. All in favor?
Every hand goes up, including hers. She sighs.
Well, De Grenzi did tell us to make ourselves useful. Let's go be of use. An excerpt from Tactics, A Modern Guide to Aerial Combat by Major Constance Cara. Weather is the one great equalizer in battle. Equally detrimental or favorable to both sides given the conditions. Without our wielders swaying that element to our advantage, we are at its mercy. Chapter 10. 40 minutes later, the sun disappears as Taryn and I drop between the snow-tipped ridgelines, descending thousands of feet into the warmer valley that houses the Stonewater River. The sun always sets so early this time of year. Power hums in my veins, ebbing and flowing with every heartbeat. I'd almost forgotten how wild magic feels beyond the wards. How accessible. Taryn's power seems endless, deeper than the oceans I've never crossed, wider than the vast sky above us.
May's sauce depart, Taryn warns, tucking his wings.
My stomach rises as he plummets, following the terrain at a nauseating speed.
She's relaying an order to return immediately.
Can you ignore her? We're easily 5 minutes ahead of the other dragons and 10 ahead of the griffins, who travel with Andarna despite my pleas for her to stay behind.
I do not answer to Maze.
He levels out over the river, a notable tailwind helping to maintain his speed. His wings beat so close to the rapids that I half expect to feel the splash of water as we curve around the bend.
In a few months, this river will be the most treacherous on the continent with spring runoff, adding to the region's already unpredictable weather complements of the abrupt change in altitude. Smoke rises in thick plumes ahead of us, joining the storm clouds while simultaneously smothering the village beneath. My heart jolts with a rush of adrenaline and dread. Ahead!
Yes, I too have eyes. We're 5 minutes out.
He tips right to fit through a bottleneck in the water-carved canyon, and my weight shifts, the belt of my saddle keeping me in place. Once we're through, I rip off my gloves, shove them into my right front pocket, then scan both sides of the raging river for signs of life. I need you to slow down. I can't tell if those are people or trees.
You ask for speed and then complain when I provide it.
But he slows as the landscape shifts into the high plains. This is the only logical path they'd take to... I spot a line of civilians hiking toward us on the southern bank of the river. There!
I have relayed to Fierg. The Griffins and Andarna will stop there first as planned,
Taren tells me, then picks up speed again.
1 minute. Prepare yourself. The pressure is dropping. We fly toward a storm.
Sure enough, my ears pop and I shove my wrist through the leather strap that will keep the conduits secure. Quickly, I unbutton my flight hood, letting the warmer wind rip it from my face for the sake of visibility as we fly toward the smoke and flame-engulfed village. Civilians flee from a gate in the western wall, and the acrid scent of smoke fills my lungs, growing more pungent with each beat of Taren's wings. A shape breaks through the pillar of smoke.
Wyvern!
I grasp the conduit in my left hand, then throw open the door to Taren's power, increasing the flow from a trickle to a rush. It envelops me, fire streaking through my veins, embers burning in my bones as the conduit glows, siphoning off the excess.
Do not channel more than you wield,
Taren warns as the wyvern flies straight for us, its gray, leathery wings riddled with holes.
I'm fine.
If I miss the first time, those fetid teeth will be in reach of Taren. I force myself upright against the wind, my core tightening to keep me steady as I lift my right hand, then take aim and release the power with a snap. Lightning flashes, illuminating the clouds above for less than a heartbeat before tearing through the sky and striking the wyvern in the chest. The beast screams as it falls, and Taren passes so closely overhead that I catch the scent of charred flesh. There's no time for relief as two more burst through the smoke. We're outnumbered, and while Taren is bigger, they are faster.
High ground,
Taren warns before banking right and climbing, putting the village behind us. I turn as far as the belt on my saddle will allow and raise my hand, welcoming the burn as energy gathers within me, but...
They're on us!
Too close to strike without endangering Taren. The larger wyvern's enormous jaw opens, revealing blood-stained teeth, and its tongue curls as it lunges with a burst of speed.
Taren!
Taren dips his wings at an angle, catching the wind, and I hurtle forward in the seat at the sudden decrease in speed as he swings his massive tail. Bone cracks, blood spurts, and the wyvern spins off to the right, missing the lower half of its jaw. I can't pivot fully, but I take aim at what I can see of the one still pursuing us, then unleash with a crack and miss.
Fuck, I reach. If you remove that belt, I will unseat you over the river and let your meager gods sort you out.
Taren warns, then banks left, giving me the perfect view. I release another strike, guiding it with the motion of my hand, and it hits true, severing the wyvern's head from its neck.
Got it!
Fuck yes.
But unless those three wyvern are on a scouting patrol? Unlikely, given the flaming village. There has to be a creator nearby. I face forward and lean into the turn, casting my focus downward. The demarcation line is clear this high above the village. Half is devoid of color, drained of all its magic, and in the center of the village stands a single figure in flowing dark robes, her light hair, silver, whipping in the wind. It's her, the dark wielder from Jack's cell. My grip tightens on the conduit. She looks toward us, lifts her hand and wiggles her fingers as if waving. A sick feeling squeezes my stomach. I think she was expecting us.
This is a trap,
and we flew right into it.
My heart drops at the realization, but it doesn't change the fact that Marin's family is in danger.
Above, Taryn bellows,
and I look up as two wyvern emerge from the swirling storm system. I lift my hand, but there's no time. They're already here. Taryn punches his tail forward underneath us, swinging his body in a way I've never experienced. And I fall backward, my stomach lodging in my throat as the ground takes the place of the sky and the strap pulls tight across my thighs, holding me upside down long enough for my heart to pound in my ears twice.
Snap.
Bone fractures, and Taryn rolls right, dragging the broken-necked corpse of a wyvern with us, then releasing it once we level. I force my stomach back where it belongs and prepare to strike the other as it lunges for us. It snaps its jaws, teeth clashing mere feet from Taryn's shoulder as it misses, cutting at least 2 years off my life. I extend my arm.
Do not,
Taryn orders, and a second later, brown scales consume my field of vision as Atrum clasps the wyvern's head between his teeth and bites as we pass. The wind roars like a beast, blocking out any other sound, and Taryn banks hard, whipping himself back around. My face contorts into a grimace at the force my body absorbs with the maneuver, and I fight to remain conscious as we turn toward the battle. Atrum's tail curves up, the poisonous barb jabbing into the belly of the wyvern. I blink. A scorpion tail? It's not Atrum.
Crod,
Taryn explains as the wyvern falls from the dragon's grip.
What the fuck is Garrick? Tornado!
Taryn warns a second before a wall of wind hits hard enough to knock the breath from my lungs and drags us into its swirling vortex. We're flung like a rag doll, and the roar of the storm vibrates every bone in my body. Taryn snaps his wings shut, and I hold fast to the pommels and duck my head as debris flies by, terror locking my muscles as we're thrown round and round and round as though we weigh nothing. Oh, Malik, I am not ready to meet you.
Violet!
And Darna shouts,
no!
Taryn bellows as we're spun to a near vertical position.
Stay back!
I shriek, and fear burns through my bones like acid as we're ripped outward by centrifugal motion. She can't get caught in this. It has every chance of killing us and will damn sure take her life. We're flung out of the storm like a projectile, hurtling backward through the air toward what I think is a mountainside. Taryn opens his wings in a burst, slowing our speed from meteoric to lethal in a move so sudden my head whips backward and my ears ring. His roar shakes my ribs as he snaps his wings shut and contorts his body in an attempt to twist. His side hits first, the collision stunning me breathless and knocking boulders loose around us with a cracking sound. Something slams into my knee, and Taryn's wings snap over me a moment before I hear a second thud of impact. The bond goes dark.
No! Taryn!
I scream, terror locking every muscle, stealing every thought but one.
He can't be gone!
We fall down the ridge in a graceless, limp skid. Deprived of sight, I can only hear the grate of rock against scale, feel the jarring hits as we crash through obstacles and continue downward.
Taryn!
I try again, mentally grasping for him. But there's nothing.
Violet!
And Darna cries, I can't feel him!
Stay back!
I repeat as we fall down and down and down. Is there a cliff beneath us? I should have heeded Taryn's warning about the storm. Is he all right? Has he?
Don't think like that!
She wails. My heart thunders a staccato beat as we plummet, and I throw my hands from the pommels and spread them over his scales. I can't feel him breathing. But that doesn't mean he isn't. He has to be all right. I'd feel it if he wasn't, right? Panic fights to close my throat. This isn't how he ends, how we end. Liam only had minutes after Day ceased breathing, but he knew. Choose to live, I beg Andarna in a rush. You're the only one of your kind. You have to live no matter what happens to us. Oh, gods. Sadan.
Stay with me,
she pleads, her voice breaking.
You both have to stay.
We free fall for the length of a heartbeat, my stomach rising, and I prepare for my final breath. Earth claims us once more in a rough embrace, and this time we grind to a stop.
Taryn's wings fall open, and I'm left dangling at a 90-degree angle to the ground, gasping dust-filled air. He's fallen onto his side. I can't see his head from this angle, so I drop any semblance of a shield and fully reach for him. There's a glimmer of thread where our bond should be, but it's enough to flood my system with hope as something crashes behind me. A glimmer means he isn't dead. My own heartbeat means he can't be. His chest shudders, and his breath begins a deep, steady pattern. Thank you, gods. He's breathing, I tell Andarna. Sorengale, footsteps race toward me. Here, I reply, my abs straining to keep position while I fight with the belt of my saddle. Garrick's chest heaves as he appears 10 feet beneath me, his hood blown back and blood dripping from the right corner of his hairline. You're alive. He braces his hands on both knees and leans over, and I can't tell if he's catching his breath or going to be ill. Thank you, Dune. Taryn, he looks up, giving me a quick appraisal and blanching. Knocked out. What's wrong? I ask. Your knee is a fucking mess. I glance down at my leg, and a scream works its way up my throat as the agony hits, like it waited until I could see exactly how fucked I am to make itself known. My flight leathers are torn at my right knee, and my mouth waters, bile rising quickly as I realize my kneecap isn't where it's supposed to be. Searing pain hurtles up my leg and spine, stealing logical thought as it consumes me, coming in waves that match my heartbeat. Is it broken? Garrick asks. Seconds tick by as I concentrate solely on pushing the pain back into a box I can manage, then force my toes to move one by one. I think just dislocated. Can't fix it. Nausea rolls through me with every breath. This angle. He nods. Drop, and I'll catch you. We'll get you sorted on the ground. Crod? I ask, getting a firm grip on the belt. My weight is holding the damned buckle closed. He's slowly coming to. Garrick looks back over his shoulder. Stubborn ass turned and took the impact on his stomach. Saved my life, but an outcropping halfway down knocked him out temporarily. That must be what happened to Taryn. That second impact I heard was his head. Shit. The silver-haired Venon is still out here, and both dragons are as good as defenseless without us. At least until the others arrive. Drop me, and I'll kick you in the face. I grit my teeth through the pain. I am not dying today, and neither is Taryn. Let's be honest. You're not kicking anyone with that knee. He lifts his arms up, and I'm filled with the most illogical longing for Zayden to be standing in his place. Come on, Violet, trust me. I heave up, pushing against the pommels to shift my weight, then wrench the strap through the buckle and fall like a stone. The scream I'd held back rips free as he catches me, the world erupting in shades of red pain at the collision. Do you want me to put it back in? He asks, holding me as carefully as he can. I nod, and he quickly sets me on my feet and crouches in front of me, holding onto my waist to keep me upright. The scabbards of the swords he wears strapped to his back drag through palm-sized hailstones to scrape the rocky ground. Extend it slowly, he orders, keeping his hazel eyes on my knee. I turn my head, biting into the collar of my jacket to keep from screaming again as I straighten my leg. This won't be pleasant. I'm so sorry, he says as he slides my kneecap back into place. Don't be, I manage to gasp, the pain immediately sliding to a level where I can at least think somewhat properly. Rap is in my pack. The rhythmic sound of Taryn's breathing calms my heartbeat, but I can't see anything beyond his dark scales to my left and hunks of granite to our right with us all but wedged up against the mountainside. He retrieves the fabric, then holds me steady as I do my best to stabilize the joint. Pain flares as I test my weight on the limb, but it's minuscule compared to what could happen to Taryn if we don't start moving, so I tie off the fabric and call it good. It'll do until I can get to a healer or Brennan, but we need to get out of here alive first. You're good at that, he says. Dipping down, he slings an arm around my upper back, and I throw mine over his shoulder. Lots of practice. We make our way beside Tarn's back, careful not to step on his wings, and finally clear his tail as the tornado winds its way eastward. Your head is bleeding right above your scar from Resin.
Good. Hate to damage the other side of my perfect face. He jokes. Don't worry about me. It's nothing a couple of stitches won't fix.
The others approach, Andarna says. They do not know Kraud is with you, and I have not told them. The brown scorpion tail blocked out his riot? Tell them to go for Marin's family first. You stay right where you're at until we know what's going on. There's a definite grumble in her response as I stagger forward with Garrick's help, taking a central position between Tarn and Kraud, who looks like he might be missing a few scales along his jaw. The others are on their way, I tell Garrick, and I'm pretty sure that Venin knew we were coming.
That's great, he grimaces. I've flown through some shit, but never been through a tornado before,
Garrick says, scanning the horizon. We're at least a mile south of the village. Me either. The smoke rises in a steady column again above the town. I reach for Tarn's power, but as expected, the scorching archives I've come to depend on sputter with darkness. Wanna tell me what you're doing here?
They made it.
Garrick tenses and pointedly looks toward the western end of the village as Fjerg and Atrum cross the moonlight. Kira, Daja, and Traeger's griffin, Scylla, follow soon after, all of them bearing their riders and flyers respectively.
Marin's family, right? That's what Major Safa relayed.
That's why I'm here. You're supposed to be with Zayden. There's no point confirming what he already knows. 8 hours away.
Yeah, well, the second he heard you were charging off into danger, he became unreasonable.
A muscle in Garrick's jaw ticks, and I pull my arm from his shoulder so he can stand straight, shifting my weight to relieve the pressure from my right knee as much as possible.
I've never seen him like that.
Garrick shoots a worried look my way.
Ever. I don't even want to think about what he would have done if he'd been out here beyond the wards because I thought he was going to rip the stones from the wall. He's always prided himself on control. He has to when he wields that much power. And I'm telling you, he lost it when he heard you were crossing the border, Violet. He's not himself.
My chest tightens. He'd been annoyed, even angry when I flew for Cordon with my siblings a few months ago. But he hadn't come close to losing it. Because Ato sent us to... The words die on my tongue as I process what he said. He knew I was crossing the border?
Maze.
I end on a whisper, staring up at the side of Garrick's face.
How did you get here?
It's not important. He draws a sword with his left hand. Maze saw us leave maybe 40 minutes ago, and you're already here.
You're a wind wielder.
And there's no fucking way you pushed a hundreds of miles an hour tailwind at Kraud. So how did you get here? My voice rises with my temper, and lightning strikes 20 feet in front of us, charring the ground as thunder booms simultaneously. I startle, then wince as my knee cries at the sudden movement.
Damn, Sorengale, you didn't have to, he starts.
I didn't, I shake my head.
I did.
Our heads whip right, and the silver-haired Venin walks toward us, her purple robes billowing in the breeze. She doesn't bother to look at Tarn as she passes mere yards in front of his hind claws. Just keeps those eerie red eyes pinned on us.
On me?
Wait. She did... What? Lightning? Blood drains from my face, and I throw up my shields, drawing on Andarna's power.
Holy Dune. She wielded lightning.
But Venin aren't supposed to have signets, let alone mine. Dread pins my heart to the ground, but my hands are fast as I unsheathe and fling two daggers at her chest. She waves her hand left and right, and the knives fall mid-flight.
Is that any way to thank me?
Fuck. I should have brought the mini crossbow Marin gave me.
Thank you for what exactly?
Garrick raises his sword and moves to my side as I reach for Taren's power again, finding a dim hum. Now wouldn't be a bad time to manifest a second signet, I tell Andarna as the dark wielder approaches. My heart thunders like a drum. All the Venin has to do is palm the earth, and the four of us will be desiccated in seconds. As if I control how you use my power, Andarna counters. Second signet. My gaze darts toward Garrick. But a glance is all I can afford with the dark wielder sauntering toward us. Not killing you, of course. The dark wielder cocks her head to the side and runs her gaze over me in blatant appraisal, then pauses about 10 feet away. The scarlet veins beside her eyes remind me of a masquerade mask topped by the faded tattoo on her forehead, and the red glow around her irises is 10 shades brighter than Jack's. A sage, probably. Maybe even a maven. And were it not for the physical signs of her lost soul, she'd be stunningly beautiful, with high cheekbones and a full mouth, but her skin's eerily pale. Though I must say, I'm disappointed you were so easily lured from your wards. She tisks at me. Shame the girl's family raised weapons at me, or they might have lived. She shoots a warning glance at Garrick, but he doesn't lower his sword. The girl's family. My hands curl into fists. You killed Marin's family? Rock and ice crunch under my boots as I take 2 steps toward her. To lure me? Anger curdles my stomach. Only the parents? She rolls her eyes. I left the boys as a sign of goodwill. Though you can't say the same about my wyvern, can you?
Goodwill! I shout.
Marin's going to be devastated.
Violet, Garrick warns, but he keeps with me step for step. Careful with your tone, lightning wielder.
The dark wielder flicks her wrist, and Garrick rises in the air in a nauseating reenactment of every one of my nightmares. His sword drops to the ground, and he scrambles for his throat.
You, I'm curious about. I'll even admit to wanting, considering all that power, not to mention being an effective leash. But him?
She shakes her head, and Garrick begins to kick.
Leash. That's exactly what Jack called me.
She knows about Zayden.
Let him go! I draw another dagger and shove every hint of fear aside. Nothing's happening to Garrick on my watch. This might not kill you, but it will hurt like hell. Let's not compare weapons.
She reaches for a knife sheathed in the belt of her gauzy purple robe and reveals just enough of its green tip to seize my breath for a heartbeat.
Our paths are too intertwined to begin with such hostility. I know. You answer a single question, and I'll return the walker to the ground. That seems a civil start to our relationship, don't you think, Violet?
Ask it. I feel Andarna hovering along our bond, alert and hopefully nowhere near us.
Warn the others.
They're coming.
Frustration sharpens her words. You prize his friend's life over information.
Interesting. She shoves the knife back into its sheath.
I'm Theophany, by the way. Seems only right that you know my name, seeing as I know everything about you, Violet Sorengale.
Fucking awesome. Because of Jack? It's the only logical explanation. She shrugs in a dismissive gesture that reminds me of the Duchess of Moraine.
Bonding one dragon is enviable.
all that power just given to you?
Her mouth tightens. But two is unheard of. Aren't you the luckiest girl on the continent? Or maybe that's me, being close by when your Morningstar tail was spotted.
Is that really your question?
My fingernails cut into my palms as Garrick's kicks become more desperate.
Just an observation.
Her gaze flicks toward Garrick.
For good faith.
She turns her hand, and Garrick crashes to the ground beside me, wheezing as he draws breath.
Now, tell me, which chose you first? The one who gifted you the power of the sky? Or the Irid?
An excerpt from Recorded Correspondence of Nirali Ilan, Commanding General, Cliffsbane Fortress, to Lyra Mykel, Deputy Commanding General, Bezgaeth War Camp. In the hope and excitement this new development of the bonds between dragons, griffins, and their humans brings, I wonder who has stopped to contemplate the nature of magic's balance. Do we not risk the equal rise of the very powers we seek to wield?
Chapter 11. Irid? I blink and fight like hell to keep my face blank.
Yes, you're Irid.
Theophany surveys the sky, then the landscape behind us as Garrick staggers to his feet, sword in hand.
Some do not believe, but I knew as soon as the cream-robed scholars whispered about the seventh breed in your war college.
Pity I had to leave so abruptly.
One hasn't been seen in centuries, and I was so hoping to set eyes on her.
She finishes the statement like the threat it is, bringing her crimson gaze to mine.
And Darna, terror races up my spine and lightens my head. Irid,
and Darna whispers.
Yes, I remember now. That is what my kind are called. I am an Irid scorpion tail. Fly for the wards, I scream mentally. She's not here for me. She wants you. I will not abandon you, she roars. Everyone on the continent needs you alive. Now fly.
My fingers brush the conduit hanging from my wrist, but it's of no use to me without Tarn's power. I need to stall, give Andarna enough time to escape.
She's out of your reach.
Theophany studies my face.
Disappointing, but it wouldn't be fun if I caught my prey on the first attempt. You truly don't know what she is, do you?
The dark wielder's mouth curves into a delighted smile that instantly sickens my stomach.
What a prize you've won.
Sometimes I forget just how short mortal memory can be.
Mortal?
As opposed to what? Immortal?
How fucking old is she?
She moves sideways toward the village, and Garrick and I both mimic her movement, putting ourselves between her and Tarn.
When the Shadow Wielder comes to us,
he won't, I snap. Power hums, filling me at a trickle as the sound of wing beats fills the air. Tarn's waking up, but whatever's coming at us is coming fast.
He will,
she says in that same infuriatingly certain tone Zayden uses. Lightning cracks like punctuation, branching through the cloud overhead.
She didn't even have to lift her hands. Holy shit,
I'm outmatched in every possible way.
And when you come with him, you will remember that I let you live today and choose me, not Berwyn, as your teacher.
She retreats step by slow step, extending her arms out at her sides. Maybe Venin lose their minds with their souls, but humoring her gives Andarna more time to flee.
And why would I do that?
Power comes flooding back, scalding my bones, and I let it gather and coil.
Besides the fact that he's subpar and you'd be chained to him, powerless to resist his orders? She sneers in disgust, then schools her features. I'll let you keep both your dragons while giving you what you want most in the world.
Her gaze drops to the conduit as wind pulses. The others must be here.
Control and knowledge.
Tern swivels and his head snaps toward Theophany, but his teeth close just short of her feet as she's plucked off the ground by the claw of a wyvern. Its gray wings beat fast and hard, blasting us with wind and carrying its creator from the battlefield.
Holy shit, we're actually alive, Garrick says, lowering his sword. She left us alive.
Are you all right? I ask Tern, my voice cracking.
I am not deceased.
He gains his feet, his talons digging into the rocky soil. Relief pricks at my eyes and my vision wobbles.
Do not dehydrate on my account, he lectures. It takes more than weather to fell me.
His golden gaze drops to my knee.
Wish I could say the same for you.
Yeah, you're just fine, I mutter, then turn toward Garrick, who's already picking up one of my last daggers. You don't have to do that.
You're not exactly in a position to walk, he reminds me, scooping up the second.
Did you? I ask quickly as the wing beats grow louder. She called you a walker. He'd traveled 1,000 miles in minutes, and there's only one way I've read about to accomplish that. But no one has done it in centuries. Garrick wipes the back of his hand across his temple, and it comes away bloody.
Yeah, and she called you a leash.
No wonder he's best friends with Zayden. They're both excellent at dodging questions. You have a second signet, don't you? And like Zayden, he hid the strongest one.
So do you.
He hands back my daggers and sways. Or at least, you will. Thank you. I hold his gaze while sheathing the blades and wade through the significance of what he's concealing. You know, the last time someone wielded distance—
Never said I did, he interrupts,
looking toward Crod with a flash of a smile as the brown scorpion tail lumbers to his feet.
Scared me there for a second, he scoffs. Yes, I know how much energy it takes. Trust me. You're missing far more skin than I am.
You should go. I motion toward Crod and my knee throbs as the adrenaline starts to wear off. Now, before they get close enough to see you. I know he's blocked out the riot, so your secret is still safe if you leave in the next few seconds. Garrick's gaze swings to mine, clearly torn.
Getting you into the saddle.
Thank you for risking exposure by coming to help me. But go. I lift my brows. My squad will help me. Garrick tilts his head like he's listening, then nods.
You'll come straight back to Besgaeth?
I nod. Run! He stays a second longer, then takes off sprinting toward Crod. He launches in the shadows, flying out of sight as my squad nears.
Did you know?
I ask Tern.
We do not gossip about our riders.
Good point. If they did, Zayden would be dead by now.
This is ridiculous, I tell Tern as he descends not into the flight field, but straight into the courtyard of the quadrant 20 hours later.
So is thinking you can hobble back from the flight field.
Screams sound from the dozen or so cadets who run for the safety of the dormitory wing as Tern lands in the mud. At least it stopped snowing.
Violet! Brennan charges past the fleeing cadets, his brow pinched with worry. Did you seriously tell my brother? I glare at Tern, knowing full well he can't see me.
Of course not,
Tern snorts, and steam covers the dormitory wing windows.
I told Marb,
Andarna announces, landing on Tern's right, her scales as black as his.
I'm fine, I call down to Brennan, ripping the belt free and cursing when the stitches catch again.
Biting my lip keeps me from crying out as I force myself out of the saddle.
So much for not gossiping.
She snorts, and I begin the humiliating exercise of scooting over Taryn's back on my ass while she looks on. Taryn dips his shoulder when I reach it, and I fail to smother the sharp gasp of pain as I lift my right leg so I can slide down.
How about you go get me a set of crutches and I'll—
How about you get down here? Zayden says, standing where I'd expected to find Brennan. My heartbeat jolts. Gods, he looks good. Staring up at me with the kind of intensity that used to rattle my nerves when I was a first year. He lifts one arm, and shadows rush up from beneath Taryn and solidify as they wrap around my waist. Now would be preferable. He crooks his fingers at me. I would do the same for any wounded rider.
I somehow doubt that.
I slide down Taryn's leg and the shadows turn me sideways at the last second and lift me into Zayden's waiting arms.
My, my.
I brush a lock of dark hair off his forehead, then hook my arms around his neck and settle against his chest, ignoring the throbbing protest of my knee as it bends.
What else can you do with those shadows, Lieutenant Ryerson?
He locks his jaw and keeps his eyes straight ahead as he carries me away from Taryn and past Brennan, who holds the door to the dormitory wing open. Commons is closest, Brennan says, quickly catching up to Zayden. Every line of Zayden's body is rigid as he follows Brennan through the rotunda and up into Commons. Tension radiates off him in waves of shadows that swirl like footprints as I look back over his shoulder, and when I reach out mentally, he has me blocked.
You're angry,
I whisper as Brennan charges ahead, ordering cadets out of a meeting room to the right of the announcements board.
Anger does not fully describe my current feelings,
Zayden replies, striding through the door into the windowless chamber. Shadows shove all six chairs on this side of the long course table out of the way, and he sets me on the surface with extreme care, then retreats, putting his back to the wall.
I did exactly what you would have in the same situation,
I argue, bracing my weight with my palms as Brennan moves to my knee, leaving the door open.
If you would, Zayden lifts a single finger.
Not yet.
My eyes narrow on him as Brennan slices through my wrap with a dagger.
And I thought you were headed home, I ask my brother.
Just helping put the finer points on the Alliance. He grimaces at the black and blue expanse of my knee.
Lucky for you, I'm still here. 20 hours in the saddle didn't exactly help the swelling, Vi.
Neither would have trying to dismount at Samara, I wince as Brennan prods the joint. I brought some aromint with me. I'll have it steeped in milk to help speed the deep healing. He nods to himself. It helped after you were poisoned.
You brought aromint out of Aracia?
Zayden glowers at my brother.
Breaking the law in front of the Duke.
I try to tease my brother, but the pain makes my words pitchy and it falls flat.
Fuck, that hurts. My leg throbs twice as hard without the wrap.
I'm well versed in how to use it. You know they don't take too kindly to walking out of negotiations when you speak for your province, right?
Brennan spreads his hands over the joint and looks over his shoulder at Zayden. You're not just a rider anymore and should probably get back. He blinks as Zayden delivers a withering glare.
Never mind. I would not want to be you,
he says under his breath at me, then closes his eyes.
It's not her fault, Garrick shouts as he races through the doorway, all but skidding to a stop at the foot of the table.
Oh, Zayden asks.
Crossing into Boromir was definitely a choice. Garrick shucks off his flight jacket and drops it on the nearest chair. But the tornado, a regional hazard, the Dark Wielder?
You've already pled her case. Twice. Zayden's tone is almost bored as he folds his arms.
I don't need to be protected from him. I shake my head at Garrick as heat envelops my knee, then glance Zayden's way. I own my decisions.
Well the fuck aware.
Zayden closes his eyes and leans his head back against the wall.
She's here, Rhiannon calls out from the doorway.
Second ears flood into the room, including Marin and her two little brothers who seem glued to her side.
You two sit,
Marin says gently to the boys, and Traeger pulls out two chairs across the table for them. The twin boys are 7, with her ochre complexion, dark hair, and honey brown, grief-stricken eyes, which must be why the two feel so familiar to me. They were also silent every time we stopped on the flight here. She crouches in front of them.
We'll get it all sorted out, I promise.
Sit down, Traeger says to Kat, pulling out another seat.
I'm fine, she wobbles and rubs the back of her neck.
You're swaying where you stand. He gestures to the chair. Sit.
Fine, she grumbles, all but falling into the chair. Marin, you too. Every single one of us is exhausted.
You disobeyed a direct order? General Atos storms into the room, then startles at the sight of Brennan and Zayden.
The heat intensifies at my knee, and the pain lessens slowly as Brennan mends the stressed ligament and swollen tissue.
We were ordered to make ourselves useful, and did so,
Rhiannon steps between Atos and the rest of the squad.
Sir?
The title doesn't come out like a compliment.
Our early return was signed off by Lieutenant Colonel de Grenzy. Given that they did not have a mender at the outpost and are already overwhelmed with wounded.
Surely you're satisfied now that Cadet Sorengale is wounded. We completed your punishment.
And we'll do it again.
Riddick kicks back in his seat, throwing his feet up on the table.
And again, and again.
Atos's face flushes.
I'm sorry, Cadet.
He said we'll do it again. I lift my chin and note the shadows creeping across the stone floor toward Atos. We make decisions as a squad. We'll take whatever punishment you want to give us as a squad. What we don't do is stand by while civilians die, regardless of what citizenship they hold. And before you ask, every single dragon and griffin agreed. Hatred flares in Atos's eyes, but he quickly glances at Brennan.
You have no right to be here, Aes Sedai. This is a quadrant matter.
It's Sorengale, Brennan says without opening his eyes.
And even if Article 2, Section 4 of the Bazgaeth Code of Conduct didn't allow for menders to be granted access to all areas of campus, which it does, well, I don't answer to you.
My throat clogs when I spot the newly sewn name tag on his uniform.
And who answers for them? Atos points to the boys. King Tari has refused to open our borders.
Even now? I struggle to keep my jaw from dropping. How is that not part of the negotiations? A corner of Atos's mouth rises, as if he knows he's won.
They'll have to be returned home. Immediately.
My gaze swings to Zayden and I find him already watching me. I lift my brows and he sighs, then turns his head toward Atos.
As we're concluding this round of negotiations this afternoon, Lieutenant Colonel Sorengale will happily take the boys home,
Zayden starts and Marin gasps,
to Tirindor, seeing as they are now Tirish citizens. Since when?
Atos stiffens, and the heat in my knee dissipates as Brennan lifts his hands.
Since I said so,
Zayden answers with icy authority.
Ah, I see.
If Atos gets any redder, I'm afraid he might pop.
And with the negotiations wrapping up this afternoon, I expect you and Lieutenant Tavis to be joining the Eastern Wing as ordered. So there won't be any need to remind you that commissioned officers aren't readily welcomed within the quadrant, nor encouraged to fraternize with cadets. The leniency you enjoyed this fall will not be extended under my watch.
No, my heart sinks. Zayden won't be allowed to come and go as he pleases like he did in Aracia, which means we'll be separated. And on the border, there's every chance he'll have to pass beyond the wards where his access to magic won't be limited.
I doubt Sigale would agree.
Zayden warns in a tone that reminds me just how little guilt he feels when it comes to killing enemies who get in his way.
Your dragon is always welcome in the Vale. You're simply not welcome in the Quadrant.
Atos's focus snaps to Garrick.
You and Lieutenant Ryerson will depart by tomorrow afternoon for the Eastern Wing, as ordered. As General Melgrin ordered, Garrick responds with a slight nod. Seeing as we're under his chain of command, or at least I am. He glances back at Zayden. Not sure about his grace over here, since it's been a few centuries since any sitting member of the Cenarium has worn black. But I'm pretty sure he commands Tyrish forces now. Zayden doesn't deign to reply.
I don't care who orders whom, as long as you get out of my war college.
Ato straightens his lapel.
For the rest of you, classes resume tomorrow.
His gaze finds mine and lights with nauseating cruelty.
I'm afraid I'll have to leave you,
seeing as my belongings are currently being delivered to the commanding general's quarters.
Have to say, there's a lovely view from the personal office.
The comment hits as intended, and my chest threatens to crumple at the thought of Atos living in the space Mom and Dad used to share. Brennan straightens to his full height, and Atos backs away with a smile, disappearing into the commons.
I fucking hate him,
Riddick says, rocking forward and putting all four legs of his chair on the floor.
How did Dane turn out halfway normal with that prick as a father?
Language,
Marin hisses, though I doubt the boys heard her, considering they've both nodded off.
He had hours, too, Brennan replies to Riddick.
Until he didn't, I mutter.
Is she mended? Zayden asks without bothering to look at Brennan, his eyes locked on mine.
She is, I note with a smirk, then bend my knee damn near painlessly.
No pain?
Brennan asks, swiping the back of his hand across his sweaty forehead as he looks at me.
Nothing more than usual, I flex the joint again. Thank you.
Get out,
Zayden orders without looking away, but I'm more than aware he isn't talking to me. Everyone stills.
Let me rephrase,
Zayden says slowly.
Everyone, get out now and close the door.
Good luck, Violet, Riddick calls back over his shoulder as Ree pushes him out the door with the others,
Marin and Kat carrying the twins. And in under a minute, I hear the distinct click of the door shutting.
You can't seriously be angry with me, I start as Zayden surges off the wall, coming at me with the force of a hurricane. You've never once begrudged my autonomy.
He reaches over me, takes my hips in his hands, and yanks my ass to the edge of the table, turning me to face him.
And I'm not going to tolerate you starting now. What are you doing?
He grasps the back of my neck and slams his mouth against mine. Recovered correspondence of His Grace Lieutenant Zayden Ryerson, 16th Duke of Tirindor, to Cadet Violet Sorengale.
You might be angry when you realize I didn't wake you to say goodbye. But it's only because I no longer fully trust my ability to walk away.
Chapter 12.
Oh. Oh.
I part my lips, and he consumes my world. He kisses me hard and deep, takes my mouth like this might be the only time he can. It's that note of desperation, the graze of his teeth along my lower lip that has my hands flying to his hair. I push my fingers through the dark strands and hold on for dear life, pouring everything I feel into the kiss. Heat and need collide low in my stomach, coiling tighter with every stroke of his skilled tongue. He hasn't kissed me like this since before the battle at Besgaeth. Not even in our bed, and gods, I've missed it. It's as carnal as sex, and as intimate as waking in his arms. My heart pounds, and I part my knees. He fills the space and kisses me deeper, bringing our bodies flush, but nowhere close enough to satisfy either of us. His fingers tunnel through the lower portion of my braid, and he tilts my head, finding that perfect angle that makes me whimper mindlessly.
Violet,
he groans against my mouth, and I fucking liquefy. I shrug out of my flight jacket and hear it hit the table, but losing the layer doesn't relieve the insistent heat threatening to burn me alive. Only Zayden can do that. His hand flexes on my hip, then strokes over the curve of my waist as he sucks on my bottom lip, and I moan at the shiver of pure want that dances up my spine.
I reach for his uniform top and skim my fingers along it before yanking the soft linen undershirt free from his pants. My hands are met with warm, soft skin, draped over ridges of hard muscle, and I trace the two lines along the edges of his stomach until they disappear into his leathers. He drags a breath through his teeth, then thoroughly kisses every thought from my head, holding me in the acute state of madness only he can provoke, then driving me higher until we're a tangled mess of tongues and questing hands. His mouth skims my jaw, then the sensitive line of my throat, and I gasp when he targets the spot he knows will turn me molten, then lingers, ensuring my complete meltdown. Phew. My head rolls back to give him better access, and he takes it. Fire races through my veins, and power quickly follows in a 1-2 punch that knocks my common sense clear off the continent. Zayden, I need you. Here, a table in the gathering hall, against the wall in fucking commons. I don't care where or who sees, as long as I can have him right now. If he's game, then I am too. A low sound rumbles in his throat before he wrenches his mouth away. No, I need you. He brings his face to mine, and too many emotions to name flicker in the depths of his eyes. You have me, I whisper, lifting my hand to the side of his neck, just over his relic. His pulse thrums beneath my fingers just as fast and hard as mine. There was an hour where I wasn't sure I did. His fingers slip to the nape of my neck, and then he pulls away, retreating two precious steps that feel like miles as cool air rushes in to take his place, chilling my heated cheeks. Sigail didn't even tell me. Crod told Garrick. He shakes his head. I wasn't just angry, Violet. I was terrified. The tortured look on his face makes me swallow, and I lean forward to grasp the edge of the table. It's the same choice you would have made. The choice we did make. And I'm all right. I know that. His voice rises, and shadows don't just jump, they flee. Well, that's different. He rakes his hand down his face and breathes deeply. I know that, he repeats, softer this time. But the thought of you being out there, beyond the wards, facing down a known attack of Venon, triggered something in me I've never felt before. It was hotter than rage and sharper than fear and cut deeper than helplessness, all because I couldn't get to you. My lips part and an ache takes root in my chest. I hate that he's going through this. I would have killed anything and anyone in that moment to reach you. No exceptions. I would have channeled every ounce of power beneath my feet without hesitation if it would have landed me at your side. You'd never kill civilians, I counter with 100% certainty. He takes another step backward. If I'd been there, beyond the wards, I would have drained the very earth to its core to keep you safe. Satan, I whisper, every other word failing me. I'm well aware that you can handle yourself. He nods and retreats again. And logically, I respect your choice. Hell, I'm proud of your decision to save Marin's family. But something is broken between here, he taps the side of his head. And here, he repeats the motion above his heart. And I can't control it. You are on orders to find Andarna's kind, and I'm on orders to the front, and I can't even trust myself enough to touch you. You just did. My fingers scrape the rough wood and I shift my weight as I fight the selfish need to close the distance between us, remembering the thumbprints on my headboard. He might feel like he's spiraling, but he just displayed complete control. And that's good enough for you? His gaze heats as it wanders over my body. One kiss, no hands fully clothed. That's what you want from me from now on? What a loaded question, especially when my body is still humming for him. But every instinct tells me to tread carefully. I want whatever you're able to give, Zayden. No. His scarred eyebrows rises as he slowly walks back to me. You forget that I know your body as well as my own, Vi.
His thumb ghosts across my lips. Your mouth is swollen. Your face is flushed. And your eyes. He skims his tongue over his lower lip. They're all hazy and leaning more toward green than blue. Your pulse is racing. And the way you keep shifting your weight tells me that if I were to strip these pants off you right now, I'd find you more than ready for me.
I bite back a whimper.
If I wasn't before, I sure as hell would be now. A kiss isn't enough. It never is with us.
His fingers find the bottom of my coronet braid, and he tugs, tilting my face toward him.
You want me the same way that I want you. Wholly, completely, with nothing but skin between us, heart, mind, and body.
He brushes his mouth against mine, stuttering my breath.
All I want is to lose myself in you, and I can't. You are the only person in the world with the power to strip me of every ounce of my control, and the only person I can't fathom losing that control with.
He lifts his head.
And yet here I am, unable to keep 3 fucking feet away from you.
We'll figure it out, I promise, struggling to calm my heartbeat. We always do. You'll learn how to keep your control while I find a cure.
And if we have to draw the line at a kiss?
His gaze drops to my mouth.
Then that's the line. If it means I don't get to have you in my bed until I find a way to cure you, then I guess that's just extra incentive for me to work quickly, isn't it?
He releases my braid and stands at his full height.
You really think you can, don't you?
Yes, I nod. I won't lose you, not even to yourself. He leans in and presses a kiss to my forehead.
I can't stay on the front, he says softly. I might be one of the most powerful riders on the continent, but out there, I'm also the most dangerous.
I know. My spine stiffens as I contemplate everything that can go wrong out there, and what just went right for me. Speaking of powerful, he tips my chin back to look in my eyes.
What is it?
Garrick's a distance wielder, isn't he?
I don't bother hinting around the question.
A moment of silence passes between us, but I see the confirmation in his eyes.
Are you pissed I didn't tell you?
I shake my head. You don't owe me your friend's secrets. My brow knits. But 20 hours of flying gave me some time to think.
You? Garrick?
I tilt my head. And I once thought I saw Liam
wield ice,
Zayden says, stroking his thumb along my chin. I nod. How often do second signets accompany these particular relics? My fingers trail down the side of his neck.
Often enough to be sure Kaori can't possibly have accurate records, but not too completely that anyone questions why I only present with one, he answers. Our dragons came looking for us. They knew what they were doing.
Giving you a better chance of survival? I rest my hand over his heart.
If you act sentimental, more like building their own army.
A corner of his mouth rises.
More signets equal more power.
Right. I take a deep breath, knowing we still need to talk about Samara. The report Rhiannon gave at Samara left some things out because we didn't want to contribute to misinformation or look like we don't know what we're talking about. What did Garrick tell you?
You mean beside the fact that the Dark Wielder toyed with you and let you go?
His eyes narrow,
not much beyond what arrived in the report, which pissed me off because I could tell he wasn't being fully honest.
He's never been able to lie to me.
What did you leave out?
Am I talking to the man I love, or the Duke of Tirindor? Either way, this could be really embarrassing. Heat creeps up my neck. If I sound a false alarm, I'll look like a fool.
Both, Zayden replies. I don't want to be different people to you. Anyone else, fine, just not you. You're stuck with all of me, and all of me is quite capable of keeping your confidence. I'll use Tirindor to protect you, not you to protect Tirindor.
I've already told you I'm happy to protect your home. My hand fists the fabric of his uniform.
She wielded lightning, I whisper, and his brow furrows. Zayden, I think we're wrong. I don't think they're limited to lesser magics. I think maybe they have signets too.
I believe you.
He doesn't so much as flinch.
What else did you leave out?
Over the next week, our professors display just how accomplished they are at making everything at Besgaeth feel almost routine, like we're not in the middle of a war. Physics, RSC, with a new professor since Grady is busy organizing the quest squad and researching where to go. Math and magics, all classes have resumed save one, history. Guess we're still waiting for Signeason's cadets to arrive before beginning that one. If the third years weren't gone half the time staffing the Midland posts, it might even feel like we never left except for the fact that the flyers have joined us. When Signeason's flyers arrive, we'll be near maximum capacity in the dorms, which only makes me realize just how many dragons have stopped bonding in the last century.
This came to Trifels last night, Imogen says, stifling a yawn and handing me a folded sealed missive when we meet at the bridge to the healer quadrant.
Can't blame her. She's been up all night at the Midland Post. Dawn breaks through the windows, but the mage lights give more than enough brightness to make out her name as the addressee. I don't think this is meant for me. My eyebrows rise as I read the name of the sender. Especially coming from Garrick.
Right, because Garrick writes to me.
She rolls her eyes and stretches her shoulders before pulling open the door into the tunnel.
Everyone knows Atos is going